Thank you. I was thinking, it's okay to be simple, amen? Don't turn this down. We went to the In-N-Out. Every now and then we go to the In-N-Out Burger, okay? Yes. Can I get a witness for this? I like those little hot peppers, too. My wife says, you want one of these hot peppers? Yes. But there's not much on the menu. But it's good. They specialize. They're simplified. And some of you, I can tell you what you order. You order that big double. I don't know if anybody here orders a triple. Maybe. Do they have a triple? They got it animal style and all this. I don't know what that is, animal style. I just order one, two, or three. I normally order three, okay, with extra onion. I love their onions, praise the Lord. But there's fries, there's milkshakes, there's maybe coffee. It's like Ron Wolfley on the Sports Channel. He said, I'll take a number three with cheese and a large coffee. You know, but not much on the menu, but you can, it's pretty consistent, isn't it? And those things sprouted up everywhere. Everybody headed to the In-N-Out Burger as soon as I get done, okay? But, you know, I think of our church, it's not real fancy. It's a beautiful church, don't get me wrong. God has blessed our church. But we have Bible. We have some singing about the blood. We talk about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. We have some fellowship. We sing. We preach. We teach. We have good programs for the young children and such as that. And we try to love people. Amen. There's not a whole lot of stuff on the menu, but praise God, He uses what we have. It's good. Taste of the Lord and see that He is good. And you know, when you taste of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your personal Savior, you'll be satisfied. It'll be all right. You'll keep coming back. And I'm thankful. In John chapter 3. There was a man, verse 1, of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. His actual name means conqueror of the people. He was up in the ranks. He was a master. Jesus called him a master teacher. He was one of the well-known rulers. It's my personal opinion that he was there. When we preached last week, we had the marriage of Cana, which was Jesus' first public miracle, and he turned the water into wine. I believe that Nicodemus was there, and he saw those miracles. He knew there's something different about this one. I don't believe he was afraid, because the scripture says he came to Jesus by night. I mean, he was up in the Sanhedrin, had a lot of people under him. He was a Pharisee, which was a religious sect. They were more of the conservatives. The Sadducees were Sadducees because they were the, well, they were the liberals, okay. They didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees were, you know, right down the line, a lot of religion going on. But I've told you, being a member of a church doesn't get you to heaven. Being religious does not get you to heaven. You have to have Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So I don't believe he was afraid. He just wanted not to be distracted. He wanted Jesus. He wanted to talk to Jesus. Something he saw, that no man spake like he spake. No man could do the miracles like this one called Jesus, the Son of God. You'll notice that Jesus didn't get involved in politics or social issues. He got right to the point. He said this, brothers and sisters, family, everybody here, guest. He said, you must be born again. He got right down to it, didn't he? He wanted to deal with the soul matters. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give for an exchange for his soul? Friends, you may never hear me preach. You may never want to come back. I don't know. I don't blame you. I look in the mirror. I say, how would anybody want to? you know, use me. But that doesn't matter, friends. You'll stand before God one day and you'll give an account for your soul. Salvation matters. Eternal things matter. Eternity is real. When I was born, May the 16th, 1959, in LaGrange, Kentucky, from my dear mother, Marie Ann Hardesty. Her maiden name was Adams. I was born physically. Her water broke, I was born. Now, my wife and I, 43 years, we have two children, five grandchildren. Daughter over here, son-in-law here. I think my granddaughter's in junior church. That was something amazing when your children are born. Can I get a witness? It took my wife 2 days to have her first baby. They gave her this stuff called Pitocin. Is that right? And boy, here we go. And I'm there. And it just went on and on and on and on. I said, I'm hungry. I went downstairs to get a pack of cheese crackers. When I came up, she was mad as a hornet. Where you been? She grabbed me by the trousers and almost pulled my trousers off, you know. And don't leave. You know, those little babies were born. This is me. When they stuck those babies in the, you know, the little incubators, yeah, and they got them in there. There's a bunch of babies in there. I thought, how do you know what if they get those babies mixed up, you know, and all of that? I was kind of trying to keep an eye on the babies, but there's a physical birth. My point is when life, well, I believe life begins in the womb at conception. I believe that. That baby's heart is going out. Now, I can't explain this. I'm not a doctor. Some of you may can, you nurses and doctors. But that baby doesn't breathe air. It's got those fluids in there, you know, in the blood. But when it is born and the baby is birthed physically, they sometimes slap them or pinch them. I don't know what they do. And they squall, don't they? And then they're breathing air. It's a miracle. Amen, right there, the miracle worker of Jesus. Well, that's a miracle, the physical birth. But can I tell you the spiritual birth is a miracle too? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when you meet Jesus, oh my goodness, he loves you and you understand that he loves you and he cares. And next week, we'll pick it up with chapter 3, verse 16, is probably one of the most respected and well-loved Bible verses in the world, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, help me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is one of the most beautiful chapters in all the Bible right here we're dealing with. That Jesus would care for you. The Bible teaches that regardless of your background, regardless of your age or your race or any other factor, God loves you and desires a personal relationship with you. But we must realize that we're all sinners. Help me out now. We're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is perfect. We have all broken God's commandments. This is called sin, and sin separates us from God. Now, he loves you, and he cares for you, and he wants you to be saved. But we can't get to heaven because heaven's perfect. And if we take our sin up to heaven like we are, then heaven would not be perfect. I'm thankful that there was a mediator. Amen. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus died for your sin. I'll say that again, maybe a couple times. He died for you. He died for me. He died for all these boys and girls, all the people of the world, no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through. He died. He took the nails in his hands and feet. Jesus took the sword in his side. Forthwith came out water and blood. Jesus Christ took that crown of thorns. They beat him half to death and smote him with their fist, and they spit upon him, and he had never sinned. He's pure and holy, and Jesus took all of that. Hey, there was a man next to him, a thief on the cross. There was actually two thieves on the cross. One said, "Remember me, Jesus, when thou enterest into thy kingdom." And Jesus turned and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He saved that man, and he'll save you. That man, you'll meet that man up in heaven if you're saved. He was a sinner, but thank God he was a saved sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. The price was paid. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of our sin, there's eternal separation from God in a place called, yes, you need to hear it, hell. Right? You need to hear about that place because it's awful. It's separated from God. There's a place where the fire is not quenched. And it's a place where there's no water. That rich man in Luke 16 cried out and said, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Besides all this, there's a great gulf fixed between those that are in heaven and those that are dead in their sins in a place called hell. You go to hell, if you're cast out into the lake of fire, that great white throne judgment, once you're in hell, you'll never get out. Does somebody need to stand up and preach the gospel? Amen. Because once you get there, if your wife's over there and you're in hell, friend, you can never be with her again. Or your children. It's a mighty important issue, soul issue, eternal issue, that you receive Christ. And this is the good news. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet," let's all say that together, "yet sinners, Christ died for us." Even though you failed and I failed, he died for us anyway. He took our place. If we accept him, we don't have to pay the price of death and hell for our sins, because Jesus paid it all. He paid for your sins when he died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. But you have to accept Jesus. You have to be what the Bible says, saved or born again. They're same talking about the same things. You have to have a spiritual birth. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever," I love that word, don't you? Isn't it in our text, verse 15, look with me, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That, oh listen, it's a direct promise from God that if you'll accept him, confess with your mouth that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you of your sins and accept him, receive him as your Savior, he promises to save you and give you the free gift of eternal life. I just quoted that verse, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of God, "is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I feel somebody praying for me right now, I tell you what. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Why don't you discover that real love? Why don't you receive him? I think you really need to have to, you need to tie together John chapter 3 and John chapter 1, verse 12. Look, back up a little bit to the left, John 1, 12, and we'll read it out loud together. Ready? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Birth is the beginning of life. And a lot of people need to receive that spiritual birth because they have no purpose. They have no new aim. They have no reason to live. Can I tell you this? Satan, the devil, and his demons want to take you to hell. You say, why am I going through all this? Why do I just want to end my life? Or why do I just have no reason to get up in the morning? I'll tell you why. Because you don't have a personal relationship. You've never been born again. Is it important to say? Maybe there's someone like that now. So I need to give you that hope. Maybe people do get saved before they pass away. I know I've led people to the Lord on their, what Mark we call a deathbed. I mean, you go into the hospital and there's a person there. They really hadn't been, they hadn't heard an old country preacher like me get up and tell them these things. But can I tell you, God is faithful to get the message to people. If you die in your sins, there's no excuse. I mean, it's on the radio, right? It's on the internet. You have preachers. You have signs and billboards. You have printed material. I mean, it's everywhere. The gospel. You know why? Because he loves you. Here's one. A bunch of people in the In-N-Out Burger got that one yesterday. Here's one. The kids love this one. Our church passes these out by the thousands, literally thousands. Can I tell you this? He loves you. But you can be saved. Birth is the beginning of life physically, but you need a new birth. Our first birth was shaped in sin. But I want to get this over. Listen, listen. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to go to heaven, ye must be born again. In chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. A picture of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, aren't you? He works differently. Some people, like Joshua back here, he came to church, and for his family that is here, he heard a message similar to this. Okay. Thank God. And we gave the invitation. By the way, in the synagogues, for the most part, listen, in the Jewish synagogues, they don't give invitations. For the most part, in Jewish synagogues, they don't mention the name of Jesus. In the Jewish synagogues, you won't get a message on you must be born again. But Nicodemus got it from the Lord, from the Savior. The focus was not on baptism, but believing. I have so much I want to say. Hold your place here and go to Acts chapter 8. This is the account of Philip the evangelist. And the Lord told him, go over there and talk to that man, that Ethiopian man, who's a eunuch. Mamas, don't worry about the babies crying. They don't bother me. I can go louder than they can, so don't worry. In Acts chapter 8, I want you to see this. Baptism won't save you. Won't wash your sins away. You must be born again. In Acts chapter 8, are you there? Okay. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. He was a preacher. And arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, just time out right here. This fresh in right here. If you have a New International Version, they take out a whole portion of the scripture. You won't find it. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, that's the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he departed, and I'm sorry, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Come on over here, preacher, and tell me about this. I don't understand it. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Who is this that the scripture is talking about? Listen, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. This is how a person gets saved here. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Can I be baptized? What would hinder me from being baptized? And the preacher said, and Philip said, if thou what? Believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, whoa, ponies. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. They went down into the water, which is immersion. The word baptism means to plunge. You'll never find in the Bible, here's one of those doctrines, sprinkling or pouring, because that doesn't show forth the death, burial, and resurrection like some so-called denominations do. Friends, it's always going under the water. But you can't even really get baptized. You don't need to get baptized until you first believe with all your heart. I like this. And what you're going to find, Joshua, verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. What? It's like the precious Holy Spirit of God says, that's my boy. That's Joshua. You know, he came down here and got saved 3 or 4 weeks ago, and now he's obeying me, and he's on his way. Hey, he's born again. He's on his road to heaven. Does that mean life will be perfect? Does that mean everything will be a bowl of cherries? No. I told him just a few minutes ago, I said, Joshua, life is still hard, but the big difference is you've got Jesus Christ going with you, helping you, praying for you. It's your whole life is changed and rearranged. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When a person believes on Jesus, you become one of God's children. Oh, I like that, don't you? You have a Heavenly Father. You were, listen, every look up in here. Look up in here. Everybody, including myself, before we were saved, we didn't have a Heavenly Father. Our father was the devil. Once you get born again, you can say, "Oh, Father, Heavenly Father." I'm almost done. They don't teach the born-again experience in the synagogues. Nick, I call him Nick. My dad was Nick. Nicholas, Earl Hardesty. I'm Gregory Earl. But Nicodemus, he didn't know about being born again, the new birth. So I hope I've helped you a little bit, showing you what God says, ye must be born again. So what does that involve? Listen, look up here. It involves repentance when you believe. You really can't be born again unless you, Lord, I'm guilty. I believe on you as my Savior. Help me, Jesus. Right? And I believe true repentance, Brother David, is built into true belief. I believe that. So what is repentance? You're saying, Lord, I'm sorry. You're recognizing you're a sinner. The spiritual birth is real. I got about that much more. If you want to go to heaven, you need two births, a physical and a spiritual. This world constantly changes. But aren't you glad that Jesus never changes? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can read 1,000 articles till your eyes are burnt out. Blink won't even help you. Watch your cholesterol, the doctor tells us. We both have high cholesterol. You read another article, you need cholesterol. Read it next year, it'll be another article. The benefits of cholesterol. Hey, coffee. How many of you had your coffee? It'll change. Coffee will kill you. Here's the next article. The benefits of longevity by drinking 2 cups of coffee or more. Eggs. How many of you love eggs? Eggs will kill you. Will make have more cholesterol in your bloodstream. And you'll die. Eat oatmeal every day. I tried that. That don't work. But things change. Aren't you glad salvation never changes? Salvation is by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Verse 15, back in John chapter 3. And we're going to quit. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then we'll pick it up next week at verse 16. I think we'll do 2 more messages out of John chapter 3. But I want you to see verse 36. Verse 36. He that believeth. You see, that's a sincere belief. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Have you prayed and received Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you realized that he cares? That he loves you so much? And he wants to give you new life. He wants you to have an aim and purpose in your life. The devil try to fight everything, but don't listen to him. Listen to the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart's door. He's blowing. He works on everybody differently. Can I say that? It's not one size fits all. I went back to how we've been in hospitals before and people laying there on their deathbed, you know they're dying. Say, Pastor, don't get too close there. You might fall off. Maybe land on you, David. I don't know. Catch me. But he works on that person, you know, and that person, they're ready. They're getting ready to die, and they know it. Hey, that person in that hospital bed, terminal, unplugged, ready to pass away at any moment, they can't get to a church and be baptized. They just can't. The thief on the cross was never baptized. And the Holy Spirit blows through there, blows through that hospital room, and those people pray from their heart, Lord, I want to see you in heaven. I want to be born again. And they mean it. It's sincere. And they call on Jesus. Guess what? When they close their eyes in death, they will be with Jesus. Because this Bible never changes. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Maybe another person. You've planted seeds. And that's great. I'm not against that. Some plant, some sow, some water, but God gives the increase. I'm not against that. You can't force anybody to get saved. Hey, you just can't throw it down their mouth and say, okay, you're saved, and put a notch on your belt. I don't believe in that by any means. But the Holy Spirit can blow through there. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects. You've heard that old phrase, that person changes like the what? The wind. There was a man came in our church when we were over here, and he had marital trouble. Someone at the Walmart gave his wife one of these right here. Has the gospel in it. Talking about what the Bible says, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Their marriage was over. He was a manly man. He was not a coward. Came in late, right over there, and I was preaching on John 3:16. I said, none of us, this is what I said. I said, none of us ever know when we'll die. He did. Say what? He knew when he was going to die. Because he told his wife, I'm going to go to church on this Easter Sunday, and if something don't happen, I'm going to come home and take my life. Any minute. Just been too much sin going on, too much trouble. He was sick of it. Beautiful kids. He came in that door over there and said, come on in. I'm preaching along. John chapter 3. I said, Jesus can change you and give you reason to live and purpose. The wind blew through there. That man, Joshua, didn't make it to the altar like you did. He got saved in his pew. One size doesn't fit all. He got saved. Some of you have been different. For some people, it may take a little longer. It may take you understanding. But you know what? Nicodemus got saved. And he was there at the burial of Jesus. This master, this Pharisee who had all the religion down by pat, memorized the Torah and all of that. But he had that, but he didn't have Jesus. He said, something's different about Jesus who died on that cross. Not that cross, but an old rugged cross. He knew it. And then Jesus said, you must. Let's stand together.